This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Welcome back, everybody.
Wow, wow. 603-283-6160.
Do the and we're back to the
and
to
we're
Blink
back.
182.
No, I won't. That's a dumb idea. I kind of hate Blink 182.
Sorry. I got carried away there. It's Free Talk Live in the studio tonight. It's myself, the Captain.
It's Nikki.
And Richie Rich.
Not the Nikki.
No.
No, not Snicky. The Richie Rich.
Snicky.
It's Nikki.
Snicky.
But that doesn't make sense, though, because why would I say it, Snicky?
That's it, Snicky.
Exactly.
You know?
That's
that
it, Snicky.
That doesn't make any sense.
Snicky isn't even a word. It's like, what does that
That's
mean?
That's silly.
Yes.
Sounds like a snickerdoodle.
It's a portmanteau.
Snicky doodle.
A sickerdoodle?
Is that... It's and Nikki.
Yeah.
Snicky.
Snicky.
Mm.
Yeah.
But it's apostrophe S-N-I-K-K-I.
Okay.
Right? Just so that you know.
What if it's S apostrophe S-N-I-K-K-I?
Well, because it's Nikki, it would be I-T apostrophe S showing possession.
Okay.
Right? It's Nikki. So if you squish them together, remove the I-T, then it's apostrophe S-N-I-K-K-I.
But I'm saying move the apostrophe and add another S.
Whoa, now you guys are getting crazy.
Yeah, and we should stop doing that. In fact, let's go to your calls and thoughts. We've got Jerome on Free Talk Live. You're on the air.
Hey, I got your apostrophe, and I got it right here.
Chop chain, cha-cha.
Here's your apostrophe. I got it right here. You want to see it?
Yeah, because we can see a lot of things over the radio.
Hey, let me
grab him by the apostrophe, Jerome. Grab him by the apostrophe.
Yeah. Hey, I got a question for Richie Rich.
Okay.
Okay? How much is, let me see now, let me do some Jeffrey Bodine math.
I don't know who that
is. How much is $787 million? How much is that, Richie Rich?
$787 million, exactly.
Yeah.
That's it.
How much is that?
I just told you, $787 million, exactly.
How much of that is Rupert Murdoch's wealth?
Oh, I have no idea.
What percentage?
Please enlighten me. I don't know, and I don't want to Google.
Hell, I just want to know how the hell could you allow yourself to tell lie after lie after lie after lie? Well, you know you're lying now.
Wow.
You know you're lying, but you're lying because it's good for the ratings.
That is quite the accusation.
I mean, that might be true, but I want to know what I lied about.
I didn't say you. How could you? Oh, you know who I'm talking about.
No, you addressed me specifically.
You addressed Richie Rich specifically, and you just accused him of telling lie after lie after lie after lie. You said, how can you tell lie after lie? I mean, this is recorded, Jerome. We can go back and play it.
I wasn't pointing the finger at him. You're being like, you're demagoguing me, see?
No, it's what you said.
Wait, so what? Who lied about what?
Yeah, who lied about what?
What were these lies?
Fox lied about voting irregularities.
I mean, we're not Fox News, though.
Yeah.
Why am I being blamed for what Fox News says?
I didn't say you.
Fox
I said,
News.
How could they allow themselves to lie like that when they knew they were lying?
Oh, yeah. That's what they do. They're liars.
You also made it sound like this was something done on the radio, and I'm pretty sure they did that on television.
Oh, they did. They got a lot of their... concubines to do it on radio, too.
Okay.
They call themselves conservative talk show hosts.
Concubines, out of nowhere.
Ricky on the phone.
I got that. I learned that from watching soap operas. Okay. They're concubines.
Okay. So either, I think you answered your own question as you asked it, right? They did it for ratings.
Why did they have to lie?
And because it plays to the base.
Because they're liars. That's all they know. They don't even know how to tell the truth.
If you listen to state-sponsored media, you're going to get lied to, Jerome.
I'm playing to the base.
And then they got all these people running for office. They're in on the lie, too.
Yeah.
I mean, how can you allow yourself to be a slave to one person like Trump? How?
I don't know. How do you do it with Biden?
Do you have any self-respect? Look, nobody's a slave to Biden, okay? He's got people in this.
Everybody's a slave to Biden that lives in the United States and had to fill out their slave form on the 18th of this month.
Now, there you go. You're talking about, how could you say Richard? And now you're saying, well, everybody in the United States is a slave to Biden. Now, see, there you go.
Well, who? Okay,
so I go what?
To be clear, then, who are you accusing of being a slave to Trump? The Fox News people, or someone specifically on this show?
Fox News, and then you got all these people that voted for Trump, and still to this very day. Oh yeah, I just watched 60 Minutes, and they had a guy who's a Trump supporter was at the January 6th riot, and now he's getting death threats. He had to sell his where he was living at, and his wife, and he and his wife were like, they're like on the run. Hiding. So,
am I supposed to care?
I have a question, Jerome. Hey, did it take you an hour and a half to watch 60 Minutes?
No.
Okay.
Hey, Richard, you care about other stuff. I hear you opining on all kinds of things, don't you?
It doesn't mean I care.
Just do here, Jerome. My gosh, it's a radio show. We opine on things.
Because they pay me to. A stipend.
So, So I can opine too, can't I?
Yes.
It's a radio show, right?
Well, you were put on the air and you were going on.
And so, you've been opining this entire time.
Oh, whining more like it.
America, Richie.
What's that?
Hey, look, we've had this discussion before about freedom of speech. Hey, when does freedom of speech begin and lying doesn't?
It's one and the same.
Yeah, one and the same, yeah.
Yes. There should be no restriction on freedom of speech online. You should be able to lie as much as you want.
Just let me say this about them. They didn't even have the guts, Fox being, to let the thing go to a trial. They were so terrified. If they were terrified, why did they keep lying?
Because they thought they could get away with it. Why do politicians and state-sponsored media lie all the time?
Am I the only
one? They think you're dumb. And they know you're gonna feed into it. Where is it their basis?
Am I the only one? Have I been burnt out on Jerome? Like as he's talking, it's like, do you remember Charlie Brown when he would listen to his mom? The adults.
I had last week off,
maybe that's it.
The only thing I can remember about Charlie Brown is Christmas time is here.
Hey Jerome, thanks for the call, man. We're gonna let you go on that note. When he starts singing Charlie Brown, I think it's time to go.
So much for freedom of speech.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That was nostalgic.
Was it?
I quite enjoyed it.
Nostalgia?
Nostalgia.
All right. Just circling back to this bit about the marathon runner disqualified for using a car. She did win a silver medal for Great Britain in the IAU World 100-kilometer championship in 2011 in the Netherlands. And took bronze in both Qatar in 2014 and again in the Netherlands in 2015.
So she thought she was actually going to win with the car for a change.
How many of these did she win with a car that we don't know about?
None, because she got bronze and silver.
She currently holds she only came in third place with the car anyway.
That's
so
what I'm saying.
You know, she currently holds the Scottish 24-hour record, the British 200K record, and the Scottish 100 miles record.
Asterix.
Drinkwater told the BBC that Zekruski's incident has been referred to the Trail Running Association and the UK Athletics for further investigation. She is not the first distance runner to use internal combustion to her advantage, however. Frederick Lohrs, the winner of the marathon at the 1904 Olympic Games, was disqualified after it emerged that his manager drove him for the final 11 miles of the race. How can that be? So he drove him for the final and, drove across the finish line. They're like, you win!
dropped them off half a mile away.
Yeah, had to.
It was less technology back then.
They have car races.
Yeah.
Don't they know this? You know, like, you can... That's also, a real thing.
Also,
I mean, if that dude were running today, he would just compete in the women's division.
Oh, man.
Oh, snap. In 1979, Rosie Ruiz had her New York City Marathon gold medal revoked after it was discovered that she rode the city's subway for most of the race.
The subway, wow.
And only ran the last 800 meters.
Dang.
We got to get in on this.
I know. I can run. I can drive a car.
Rosie Ruiz. I like you. Like, screw this. I'm taking the subway.
It's probably where they got that mobile game, Subway Runner, or whatever it is.
You can't even be mad at these people. This is so funny.
A for effort.
Maybe it's just because I don't care about sports or running or races.
Sports ball. Sports ball.
This is worse than sports ball, because this is running.
Or is it?
I think so.
I mean, there's
supposed to be.
There's a speed walking championship someone's winning medals for, so I don't, that's, that's a little worse than running.
Man, in the
cringier, you know.
In the mid-80s, shopping malls were just becoming a thing, you know, or just booming, right? Like, shopping malls were the big thing. Everybody was, you know, buying land, building a shopping mall, and...
I got to go do your laps, you know?
At some point, I took a job in the shopping mall, and I had to come in early to do prep, right?
Yeah.
At a restaurant, one of these food court type deals. And that's when I discovered the mall walkers.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right?
To get in early.
Yeah, the elderly folks, before it's even open, the stores aren't even open yet.
And they lap quickly. I mean,
they sure do.
When they talk about that, it's not like, it's not meandering at all. It's like speed walking. It's not running.
Oh, yeah.
They're not running, but they're walking as fast as they possibly can.
But that's why they got to get in there early before there's all the pedestrians.
Yeah.
And it's air conditioned and there's no one around.
Yeah.
No one's going to jump out of the bushes and
Seriously.
Yep. And
well,
in fact,
they might, but...
And in fact, I feel like the stereotypical drug dealer costume of, like, the late 80s through the 90s was always, like, the running pants, right? With the big stripe going
side.
Oh, yeah, and the zip-up
sweatsuit.
Yeah. I feel like they stole that from the mall walkers, because that's the first time I saw that.
Yeah, the windbreakers.
That particular uniform was on the mall walkers, you know. Yeah. They're wearing the tennis shoes with the whole sweatsuit get-up, right? And now I'm thinking, like, maybe mall walkers were drug dealers.
Trading ibuprofen with each other.
I mean, you know, among other things.
Let me get two painkillers for your Viagra.
A drug is a drug is a drug, right? You know?
Sure.
I mean, back in the day, we used to trade cassette tapes, right? And now that's downloading, right? That's, you know, file sharing, right? Torrenting, if you will. So the same thing happens, just in a different way. I wouldn't put it past these grand people, if you will. To, you know,
why not sell your script?
Doing some, you know, Breaking Bad type stuff while they're mall walking.
And that's why you got to randomly select them at the airport when they're trying to get on a plane to go visit the grandkids.
Yep.
Wait, what?
Because they're muling drugs, man.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Got a whole bag full of pharmaceuticals. Come on to you, Grandma Karen.
And they got the script to go with it, so you got to let them through. Then they go sell it on the other side.
Got to do a pill count. I don't trust them.
I think it's time for our number two story.
I think
let's do it.
Because we're in the second hour, and it is the number two story. We've gone way past two callers, of course. But it also, because we were talking about marathons already.
And muffing them.
And you know, how do you muff a marathon? A woman, this is from insider.com, by the way, under home and health. A woman who pooped her pants halfway through the marathon and ran with it in her shorts until she crossed the finish line achieved a personal record.
Yes.
That's the entire, that's the whole, like, first of all, horribly written headline.
Yeah, we don't even need to read the article. I mean, that's it.
Second of all, that's a whole bunch of words. Third of all, I'm going to read it again because it's funny. A woman who pooped her pants halfway through a marathon and ran with it in her shorts until she crossed the finish line achieved a personal record.
This and then told everybody.
This is the longest I've been able to run a marathon with poop in my pants.
Sounds like a personal record.
I tried starting with the poop in my pants, but I only got like a third of the way through.
Tamara Torlakson's digestive tract is a well-oiled machine.
Clearly.
What? That's, who wrote this?
Someone's got to back that up.
Anna Medaris.
Dang, Anna.
Yeah, this is from November of 2021.
Oh.
So it's a bit of an old story. Her digestive tract is a well-oiled machine. Whenever she has a race or a long-run day, no pun intended, her bowels automatically clear before she hits the road. Nothing was different the day of the Mountains 2 Beach Marathon, her sixth race of the 26.2-mile distance in 2018. And yet, about halfway through the race, she realized she needed to go again. How she handled the urge was unusual, by pooping her pants.
Well, I mean,
only because of the age group, right? If this was like a four-year-old running the marathon, like, oh yeah, it's perfectly normal. You just pooped and kept running.
Yeah.
Except for the four-year-old running a marathon part. Not perfectly normal.
Whatever. Okay.
How many four-year-olds run marathons?
There was a story about like an eight-year-old thing.
She believes it served her well, her decision to just go ahead and, you know, soil herself.
Everyone close started to lay back a little bit.
I guess. I'm just surprised that she was able to. Have you ever tried to poop your pants before? It's close to impossible.
Hang on. I'm trying right now.
Okay. I want to say yes, but there are times where you go like, I'm trying to hold it, and it's not going to happen for very much longer.
Yeah.
You're prairie dogging it?
Yeah. But in this, you know, it's hard to prairie dog a liquid, right?
So
Torlakson ended up achieving a personal record as well as legend status in her running circles.
Just start zigzagging.
Can you imagine, like, okay, first of all,
just laying a path.
If I ever did, like, sort of soil myself, my social circle certainly would not consider me a legend. Right? They would do exactly what Nikki's doing, which is laugh at you.
You better come here and tell us.
Oh, I'll put it on the radio, of course.
Okay, the legend of Captain Kickass. And the one pork chop too many.
Torlakson was a new mom when she shot for her personal record. That's a sub-headline for some reason. After having her first child, then 31, she was fueled by a sort of new mom energy. Some runners say they'd become faster after giving birth. Training was going really well. I knew I was in really good shape, she said to an event planner in San Francisco who leads a local women's running group. The Mountains 2 Beach Marathon, which starts in Ojai, California. It's spelled O-J-A-I for those of you Californians. And ends in the coastal city of Ventura, west of Los Angeles, would be her first postpartum race, and she thought she could set a personal record. And for the first half of the race, she was on track to do just that. But for the second half, however, at mile 13 or 14, she realized that she needed to go to the bathroom. She didn't want to lose physical or mental momentum by stopping, nor did she want one pit stop to prompt her colon to request several.
Wow.
It's like popping the cork, like when you're out drinking. You know, you can drink 6-8 beers without going to the John.
And
like,
once you just break the holding seal.
Once you break the seal, then you got to go like every 20 minutes or something.
Yeah.
Maybe sooner for some people.
I'm still so impressed that she pooped while she was running. Like, she didn't stop. You know, like 2-year-olds when they're going in their diaper, so they like go into the corner and like, you know. Nope, she just kept going.
I mean, I peed while swimming at the beach, but...
I mean, but that's easier.
Okay.
Quote, this is her now, the runner. I thought, I don't know if it's possible to poop while running, but I will try. Torlakson said.
Good effort.
I'd call her a legend.
I didn't want one poop to mess it all up, she said.
Just mess it up for everybody else.
So without stopping, she relieved herself into the built-in underwear in her shorts.
That's what those are for.
They are now.
She's like, they got to be here for some reason, right? She said she had to focus and continued on her way. It just came out, and I felt a lot better. I mean, that's what happens, right?
It comes out,
you feel better.
Would it delay her that much to just, you know, do the San Francisco style and stop and squat in the street? Just leave one pile behind?
She was in California.
All right, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. When in Rome, all that kind of thing. Yeah. Right? Torlakson doesn't think anyone noticed, and she said she didn't give a S if they did.
I love her vibe.
Except she did give an S.
And they did. So could she have gotten away with this then?
Marathoner.
Like, stayed in her pants, and she's like, you guys aren't going to believe what happened. Smell
she
me.
Just...
Can you imagine agreeing to be interviewed for this story?
She loves the attention, clearly.
It seems that way. If she thought she could get away with it, and clearly and did, and she brought the attention to herself afterwards.
Yeah.
She maintained a PR pace with soiled shorts. I don't know what PR pace means.
Personal race. Personal record.
With soiled shorts for roughly 13 miles.
That's disgusting.
She kept her mind focused on maintaining her fast clip, not on what was rumbling in her shorts. It doesn't say rumbling. I added that for, you know.
Imagine the chafing and redness.
Oh, God.
Well, I was thinking, like, I used to know a guy who would run these types of things, marathons and triathlons, that kind of thing. And, like, you know, dude would, like, dip himself in wax to remove all the hair.
Ew.
And then oil himself up so that he didn't get, like, chafing and all that kind of stuff. And
make,
like,
himself more aerodynamic.
Right. Apparently this is stuff that people do. Even the bicycle race people do this kind of stuff.
I'm sure.
So, you know, when she neared the finish line, she yelled to her friends, I pooped my pants.
Well, there you go. See? Glory hound.
She was proud of it.
Does seem that way.
Have you ever gotten up and looked back in the bowl and been like, I'm proud of that?
No. Not proud. I'm disappointed, maybe. Can't believe I ate that much corn.
Poop corn.
I thought I could digest quinoa a little better than that.
There's our portmanteau.
Okay.
Torlakson quickly hit the medical tent for baby wipes.
Jeez.
Mm, well, that'll do.
Not toilet paper, not a bidet. Like,
they didn't have dude wipes
back
then.
Yeah, go to the porta potty
and clean. Well, and says she cleaned herself up in a porta potty. So she went and grabbed the baby wipes and then
that's
whatever.
And then went straight to the after race brunch.
Yeah, I'm just so caught between being disgusted and being, like, really proud of her.
She says it was all worth it to run a 3-hour, 7-minute marathon, her fastest by about 1:20, 13 months postpartum.
Yeah.
Yeah,
she could have taken a break to squat.
Tamara Duker Freeman, a New York City dietitian who works in gastroenterology practice, told Insider that long-distance running could trigger the bowels simply because of the mechanics of the sport. Your organs are jostling around, she said. It can also lead to temporary incontinence since your blood is shuttled away from the digestive tract and toward your legs. 603-283-6160. If you'd like to comment on our number two story of the evening, coming up, we will talk about losing your head. It's Free Talk Live.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
USA News Update. President Biden is calling for an immediate and unconditional ceasefire in Sudan. Biden said the tragic violence in Sudan has already cost the lives of hundreds of innocent civilians. The president made the comments following the emergency evacuation of U.S. Embassy personnel and their families from Khartoum. A Democratic member of the Senate Judiciary Committee says he is confident the Justice Department is conducting its investigation into Hunter Biden appropriately.
This is a long-going federal investigation. investigation, which I hope will reach a conclusion at some point soon.
Speaking on CBS's Face the Nation, Delaware Senator Chris Coons gave Attorney General Merrick Garland a vote of confidence, despite claims by an IRS agent the investigation into the president's son is being mishandled. Check out the Northern Lights tonight and into Monday. Dave Collins, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Live.
And we're free.
And we're talking.
I charge.
You what?
I charge. Nikki might be free. I charge.
But, well, okay. It is Free Talk Live, is what we're getting at.
Yes.
We're sort of like, you know, beating around the bush, as it were. we're muffing the marathon, if you will.
If you know what I mean.
If you know what I mean. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. It is Free Talk Live. The telephone number 603-283-6160. Before we go on with tonight's program, I need to stop and take a minute and say thank you to Richard Thompson. Richard Thompson gives some quantity of unidentified quantity of money to Free Talk Live through the AMPS program. It's the only time I've ever seen a name without the designation of, like, silver, gold, you know, whatever, how much money they're giving. But Richard Thompson gives some amount of money to Free Talk Live.
Richard Thompson with his thoughts and prayers. Thank
yes.
you.
Through the AMPS program, A-M-P-S, that stands for Advertise, Market, Promote, and Support. Richard apparently enjoys Free Talk Live so much that he thinks it's a good idea to give us some money every month over at amps.freetalklive.com. So that we can use that money to get on more radio stations. We're currently on 170 or 180 radio stations. We could be on 200, 250, 300 radio stations is not out of the question. It's all up to you. If you enjoy the program, if you enjoy the hosts, the co-hosts, the subject matter, the perspective of freedom, peace, and prosperity that we bring, please consider becoming an amplifier over at amps.freetalklive.com. Thank you again, Richard Thompson. We appreciate you. All right, so let's go to your calls and thoughts. We've got Rob calling from Vermont. Rob, you are on Free Talk Live. Rob?
So, yeah, are you still here?
Are you still here?
Yeah. Nope,
we've gone.
Okay. We were here, but then we were gone, but now we're back. Go ahead.
All right. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I should have brought it up last night, but I didn't find out till late. But, you know, we've had a lot of shootings going on across the United States, these random shootings, like these wrong turn shootings, and people have been getting themselves killed and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I think that what I'm going to share with you now takes us to a whole new level.
It's a psyop.
The police in over in Bennington, Vermont, are investigating. Somebody shot an arrow through someone's home. And, man, oh, man. It's just, I mean, when is this going to stop, you know?
And they ban all the guns.
Leave the guns alone.
Well, okay, but if they ban guns, people are still going to have arrows.
Well, they're going to have arrows.
So then we're going to have drive-by bow and arrow shootings.
Yeah, so they ban the arrows.
Okay, then they're going to have, drive-by Molotov cocktails.
Okay.
You know?
And you ban alcohol again.
And then where does it stop, Richie Rich?
I don't know. Well, in Britain, right, like, felons aren't allowed to have, like, cooking knives in their house.
Right.
Because they ban that.
Right.
Yeah. So they just don't eat?
Yeah.
No, they just can't cut their food. They got to, like, rip into it and chew. I don't know how they do it.
So,
it's dumb.
Years ago, one of my friend's sisters got arrested for throwing a shoe at her mother, and she was charged with assault with a deadly weapon.
See? It's the intent
because
of the device.
It was a high heel.
I was going to say, was it
a high heel?
Yeah.
So, okay. Where do we not have shoes? Like, where is the line drawn? Got to get rid of the shoelaces. Got to get rid of everything, because it might be used for something it's not intended to be used for.
Yeah, so...
That's the idea and the plan of the state.
It's actually the opposite of that is the real answer. Just let everybody own whatever arms they want to.
Yeah, just chill out, man.
Right? And then you'll always be wondering, like, I wonder how armed this guy is, right? Because that's, here in New Hampshire, like, it's a regular occurrence to see open carry. It's a regular occurrence to even, like, spot somebody concealed carrying, you know. They grab something off the shelf at the grocery store, and you see a little, you know, bump in their T-shirt or whatever.
Printing.
You know?
It's printing.
Yeah, exactly. And so, like, it's pretty common. And so it's also a very peaceful area because everybody knows everybody's carrying.
Or assumes it.
Totally assume that everybody's carrying at all times in this state.
Yeah,
right.
I mean,
right.
Why wouldn't you?
Well, I think in the cases that Rob are bringing up, right, even if the victim were carrying, it's not a situation where you're going to be on high alert and ready to draw and defend yourself. And by the time you're in that situation, you're already shot at least once.
Well, yeah, I mean, if an arrow comes running, you know, flying through your house, you're like, okay, what are you going to do? Well, nothing. Right?
Well, and even if they're like, well, this guy might have a gun in his home, but we're just going to fling the arrow and run. Right, you're not going to have a time to retaliate.
Rob, go ahead.
Well, I mean, Captain, if I may say, I mean, this is, it's shocking. I mean, it's like, they would, again, sort of same scenario where people are just randomly getting attacked. In Colorado, there were certain towns that were attacked by people that were throwing, you know, these massive boulders at cars that were going underneath bridges. And, you know, they were going through windshields.
I have to know, did that happen in Boulder, Colorado?
You know, it's...
This is no laughing matter, Captain.
Random attacks is what I'm talking about.
Well, what's the solution, Rob? How do we stop these random acts of violence?
That's a good question.
That's why I asked it.
You know, I mean... I don't have an answer for that. I thought maybe one of you guys did, or maybe someone listening to the show. I know Free Talk Live. I've been listening to over 15 years, and there's a lot of people that are still listening.
So the short answer is, even in the utopian society that libertarians want, right, you're still going to have random acts of violence.
I don't think libertarians want a utopian society.
Well, you know what I'm talking about. There's still going to be random acts of violence.
Of course.
Right? You're not going to be able to stop it.
And government obviously hasn't been able to stop it.
You're not going
to
be able to prevent it.
Right.
Right? You just have to live with it the best you can and move on.
Yeah.
And do your best on an individual basis
yeah.
to not be in a position to be a victim of those random acts of violence.
And if you know somebody right. that's committing...
I get that, too. But also what I'm saying is that it's important to share this with the public. Not, you know, be a silent cooperator or not say anything.
I mean, I think it is being shared with the public because if you, whenever I type in news into Google to look for show prep, it's always like, this person's been shot, this person was stabbed, this house was caught on fire. It's all like doom and gloom, bloody. Right.
But they share it with the public. They share it with the public with the intent of using it as political fodder
yeah.
to take away the guns.
The thing that government does is it takes away any sense of responsibility that anybody might even consider taking. For example, society, I think, has a responsibility to, well, society. So if you know that there's somebody out there doing this, because people know people, right? Any of these shooters, they got family, they got friends, somebody knows these people.
Yeah, the FBI.
Right? Somebody knows these people, and whoever knows these people, it's their responsibility, even post a violent act, to be like, dude, what the hell? What are you doing? What were you thinking? Right? It's to sort of admonish them and let them know that this behavior is not okay. Society has a responsibility to admonish, even ostracize, if you will, at times, if you know that kind of a thing, for people who commit these types of acts.
I don't know if I agree with that. That's a lot of...
What happens is, of course, that government, people rely on government to do it for them. They're like, oh, look at these horrible people committing these violent acts. We should call somebody. And they call government, and then they outsource it all, right, to, of course, an agency of violence. And that doesn't help anybody.
Understood, but if my friend goes on a shooting spree or a rampage, like it's neither my responsibility or obligation to do a darn thing about it.
So the next time you see him, you have no obligation or responsibility to say anything about it?
I have zero obligation. It might be a good idea.
Are you going to, though?
Me personally?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Rob?
But I don't want to take the obligation or take the responsibility of having to do something for the benefit of society.
Well, I mean, I think that people should be at least warned. I mean, these are random acts of attacks, not just, you know, somebody just driving a car and they're drunk and they hit someone. These are random acts of attacks.
Yeah.
Well, and let us not forget, there is something that government likes to do, not just the United States governments all around the world, they like to do. It's called agent provocateur. Right, where the government will actually throw somebody into the mix and stir things up. So it's entirely possible that the government, who wants, of course, to disarm you, who wants, of course, everybody, all the citizens to not have guns, so only government has guns, it's entirely possible for them to throw some of their own people into the mix and have them go out and commit these supposedly random acts of violence in order to gin up some outrage by the citizenry to clamor for exactly what government wants, which is more laws disarming more people.
We saw that. There was video evidence of that in one of the more recent riots. Right? An agent provocateur was caught trying to break windows. And the other peaceful protesters were like, hey, dude, don't do that. And then someone followed him and, like, caught him on camera going to, like, the FBI van or the police van or whatever.
Well, that happened at one of the Black Lives Matter
protests.
That might
have been one.
Yeah. Well, they left, like, a pallet of bricks.
Oh, yeah.
And they were just leaving stuff at random places. And then people would walk up and be like, where did this pallet of bricks come from? Like, that is so strange.
Surprise.
Why would that be, you know, in downtown Boston? Like, yeah. That doesn't make any sense.
The manifest just says, throw me. I guess, again, to your point, Rob, there's no way to prevent that with government or without government. So the best thing you can do is take measures to increase your situational awareness to make sure you are not on the victim end of that transaction.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. The last thing I'll be doing is calling the police or calling the government. You know, if I'm being attacked, I'm going to defend myself.
Well,
I mean, it's a good idea, yeah.
Yes, it should be.
That's a good idea, but then also call the police.
You know, but I'm also going to tell people about things that I know and things that I see.
Yeah.
You know, so people will be aware of it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying that we should panic and call the police if it doesn't happen to you. Police, be aware.
But take a class on situational awareness and how to defend yourself, either with or without a firearm, right? And if you end up defending yourself, right, it doesn't seem like the most, what's the word I'm looking for, principled thing to do, right? But you have to call the cops and you have to present yourself as the victim, right? Whoever calls the cops first is the victim.
I guess that depends on the situation, though.
No. If you draw on somebody or you know, hit somebody in self-defense, right, and you wait till they wake up to call the police, you are now the aggressor, and their story is the one that gets told.
Yeah, I guess in those situations.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm not saying call the police if you're getting attacked. I'm saying kick some butt and then call the cops.
Shot that black kid.
What are you saying, Rob?
I said kind of like what happened with that 80-year-old man that shot the black boy because the boy thought he was at somebody's house picking up his siblings, and then the black guy opened the door up and then shot him twice. The kid lived out of it.
Yeah. That was also weird because it was, like 10 o'clock at night or 1 o'clock in the morning or something. Mm-hmm. It was a weird time to go knocking on the door.
Late.
All right, we'll find that out.
I don't think it was that late. I don't think it was that late. But
well, double check for me because there was one where it was late. I went, well, that's reasonable. Not reasonable to shoot through the door, but reasonable to answer the door armed if an unknown stranger is approaching your door at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't hear that. But and then there's the one that's in New York where the woman just turned into the wrong driveway, and then she was shot. But just turning in the wrong driveway.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, again, random act of violence. You know, what can you do? Nothing, right? What can you do to prevent it? Get your street numbers straight ahead of time. Make sure. Park on the street, right, and double-check your information. If you've never been there before, right, who knows?
Yeah, there are a lot of... hey, Rob, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. There are a lot of people on planet Earth doing this thing that I call sleepwalking.
Yeah.
Right? And that is that they're just not really aware.
That's what I'm saying.
They're just sort of muddling their way through life, and they have a low level of just personal awareness or situational awareness at all.
Right.
And they're just sort of sleepwalking, going through the motions, and like hoping their life will turn out for the best.
Right. And so I'm not justifying the acts of violence.
Right.
Right. But there is some level of responsibility on the individuals, right, for being in that situation in the first place. And I'm not victim blaming. But if you want to prevent this going forward, what can you do as an individual, right? Is don't put yourself in that situation, you know?
Yeah,
double check.
And we're not responsible for other people's actions, right? So I can't control somebody being violent and wanting to use violence against me.
Right.
But all you can do is be prepared, you know, be aware of your surroundings.
Yep.
Take a self-defense class. You know, get armed, do everything you can to keep yourself safe, but at the end of the day, there's nothing we can do about it. If somebody's gonna, you know, kill me, I mean, that's that. Like, whatever, I'm not gonna live my life in a state of perpetual fear because of what might happen.
Right.
You know, I'll do everything I can to keep myself and my family and my friends safe. You know, I'll try my best to be smart, but if I die, I die.
Right, right. You mitigate the risks as much as you can, and then go on with your life.
Yeah.
In 2016, I got hit by a car. I've shared this on the air before. Right, I was on a moped, got, like, T-boned by a car. Right? And I would never admit this in court or testify to it, but I would say it on the air. Right? Part of that was on me, because I took my eyes off the road, and I didn't see the car coming. And if I was more situationally aware, right, I would have seen the car, I would have seen him make his move to turn, and I could have mitigated the damage by, you know, slowing down or stopping or swerving or whatever.
Right.
Right? So part of that is on me. Part of that was my choice, my decision to be where I was at that time, doing what I was doing. Right? And again, no self-defense class is going to help.
Absolutely,
right? If I knock on the wrong door and the guy shoots the door... Right.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
There's no.
I mean, there was another story where these kids accidentally went up to the wrong car in a parking lot and got killed.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an honest mistake. Yeah, you could have more situational awareness, but, I mean, what do you...
As you approach your car, look at your license plate. Make sure it's your car. There was a guy, like a Tesla guy, who drove off in the wrong car because his Tesla fob unlocked a different car.
Yeah.
It was like halfway down the road before
I almost
realized.
Did that recently. I was at a parking lot of a shopping center, and I went in and took care of what I needed to take care of, and I come out, and I put my key in the door, and, like, car, exact same color, same model, same year as mine, parked, you know, two cars down from where I parked.
Yeah.
Right, and I was walking out, you know, handling whatever it was. I wasn't paying attention. Maybe I was on my phone or something.
There you go.
And, like, I just went to what I thought was my car.
I've done that before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and what happens when you get shot over it?
Yeah, if they get shot through the window.
I mean, that's probably not going to happen in New Hampshire or Vermont, but...
Well, Vermont, the arrow just went through somebody's house, so...
I mean, I need more details on that, though, because that could also just be an honest mistake.
Well, we already hung up on Rob.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if he knew.
Okay. He started sharing it, and it was his story.
Well,
be aware. Pay attention.
What would it take for you to...
$5.
Ooh. Really? Hang on, let me check my wallet.
We already went through this last week.
Damn it, I don't have a five. Mm. You take crypto?
I do.
Okay, I got you.
So for $5, you're going to finish your dinner?
Maybe if I put it in a blender first.
Liver
add
shake.
Some seasoning to it. No, pate. Sounds better.
Pate. What would it take for you to decapitate yourself? Like, what kind of a situation would you need to be? What kind of,
one where I wasn't situationally aware of my surroundings and made a grave mistake.
Okay, so an accident. What would it take for you to decapitate yourself on purpose?
A weird sex thing.
Okay. What else? What else?
I don't know.
How about, like, religion? Zealous religious zeal would drive you to decapitate yourself?
Not me personally, but
a person.
I've seen the
boring.
Filipinos and what they do on Easter, so who knows?
This from dailymail.co.uk. A couple.
Two of them.
Told you, weird sex thing.
A couple decapitate themselves at the same time using a homemade guillotine with their heads then rolling into a fire.
Oh, that's so romantic.
In a ritualistic sacrifice in India.
Okay. Maybe end of the world scenario, right? Russia just launched the nukes. Like, all right.
Might as well cut my own head off. Yeah. I mean, there's better ways to go than that.
Yeah, but, I mean, you're going to be found later.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Hemuhai Makwana, 38, and wife Hansaben, 35, died in the sacrifice. This says yesterday. What's the date on this article? 17th of April, so just a couple of days ago.
Last week.
The couple are survived by two children, parents, and relatives. A husband and wife have killed themselves by decapitation with a homemade guillotine so they could offer their heads as a sacrifice in India, according to police. Humabai Makwana, 38, and his wife, Hansaben, 35, severed their heads with a guillotine-like mechanism into a fire altar for a ritual sacrifice.
I'm not going to test it. You test it.
What is their religion?
We'll both test it together at the same time. It's the only fair way to go about it.
It's stuck on her spinal cord. Doesn't quite go.
That's what I'm saying. There's better ways to go. Oh, my gosh.
Vinchia Police Sub-Inspector Jadia said the ritual was carried out between Saturday night and Sunday afternoon, and the couple left a note for their two children, parents, and relatives who live nearby. Mr. Jadea said the note urged their relatives to take care of their children and parents. The bodies have been sent for a post-mortem examination, and a case of accidental death has been registered.
Yeah.
Accidental.
Looks like a clear-cut case of guillotine.
Accidental.
It doesn't sound like an accident.
They have some pictures here of the couple and...
What, their dead bodies?
Well, they've sort of, you know, pixelated out what is probably, yeah, sure enough, this would be
body
number one, body number two.
For
and then
the Daily Mail.
They have this square fire pit where the heads apparently rolled into the fire pit, and that's also pixelated out, so you can't really see anything.
It's like Ghost Rider after that. They just pick up the skull, pop it back on there, continue on with life.
The couple's family members said the pair had been offering prayers in their home every day since last year. It comes after two women were abducted, tortured, and beheaded as part of what was feared to be a black magic human sacrifice ritual last October.
So they're into the voodoo.
Bhagavan Singh,
voodoo.
A traditional healer who treated patients in his home with his wife Lila and Mohammed, an occult practitioner, were detained in Kerala, India, after the bodies of Padmam, 57, and Rosalie, 49, were discovered. These apparently are the two other women who were abducted and beheaded. The pair had been severely tortured, and the accused allegedly lured them to their home by promising money.
So it sounds like these people were murdered then, because why would they kill themselves?
They did leave a note.
I mean that...
Safi was said to have befriended the couple through social media after creating a fake profile, then encouraged them to carry out the sacrifice. Black magic is still practiced in parts of India, supposedly to aid fertility, bring wealth, affect the weather, and cure people of illnesses.
I mean, does it matter if you're dead?
If you convince someone to cut their own head off, is it really your fault?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. Words, I, you know.
Just don't.
I mean, it is possible for someone to be brainwashed by another person.
Absolutely. There's, like, actual hypnotists, that, and I've seen it work before. Usually it's something harmless, like getting somebody to stop smoking cigarettes, but...
Look like a chicken.
Bawk, bawk, bawk!
My mom's wide open. Wait, what? That's a parody by, I can't remember his name now.
Eddie Vedder?
No, it's, I'll have to look it up. 603-283-6160. Coming up, we'll talk about, would you like to go live in a cave for 500 days or so? It's Free Talk Live.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about the alarming increase in man-made disasters, financial institutions collapsing, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on over a dozen emergency food kits. These include tasty breakfasts, lunches, dinners, drinks, fruits, veggies, meats, and snacks, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. My Patriot Supply food kits are in stock and shipped discreetly. We've seen too many Americans let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.